Sorry, this is an awful thing to say, but it's true. I doubt she is coming here, but if she does, we'll manage. Sorry, but that's what he said. Well, I passed 11 plus, and off I went to Bexhill Grammar School, basically. That had its moments. I mean, from an academic point of view, there were mistakes made, but that was nothing to do with my disability, is how I put it. They had me down as Oxbridge. That was the problem. They'd got it into their head. But I was never, that's not, that was never me. And so they kind of, some of the directions they, but I mean, that's not nothing to say. What I'm saying here is nothing to do with it. I was bullied, but again, it was nothing to do with my disability. I was bullied because I was a good girl who did my homework. So I had to be swapped classes in the first year because of that.
Did you encounter any kind of disability prejudice type behaviour at school?
I did, but I just dealt with it, usually with a very sharp tongue. I mean, in my primary school, I knocked a boy over. I was so angry with something he said that I mean, it's funny when I think about it. I think I caught him off balance, obviously, because I mean, me in my wheelchair, I'm not going to be likely to knock a boy over, and he landed on the on the concrete playground, and that kind of put a stop to it. But I mean, I didn't. It was just a lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it, punch. Not much, though. I mean, you know, I was secondary school. Yeah, there were difficulties, but more from the staff, I have to say. I mean, I've always said. I mean, I made some very, very good and strong. I mean, I've still got strong friendships from my secondary school. I mean,
I was going to ask you about
I've got a. I mean, I'm
friendships.
still. I mean, I'm friends with someone I met on my first day going to primary school. Diane and I are still close friends. You know, that's a very strong bond, and we've been through a lot together, one thing and another. And her family were a nice, normal family for me to have a sort of, you know, escape to now and again, because, you know, that sounds a bit awful, but, you know, even though she had a sister who, with a lot of issues of her own, it was still, to me, you know, she had aunts and uncles that came to visit, and cousins, and, you know, ordinary grandparents. It was quite a shock to my system, I don't know. But friendships that were more important, I mean, yes, there were. And I think there were people in secondary school who probably did resent me, but because it was a grammar school, it was slightly different. I mean, I've always put my, I will always say this, I wish I'd been to a comprehensive, not to grammar school. I don't like elitism, and I don't like the other side, the, as my mum, where my mother taught, the I'm a failure at 11. I like inclusive education, and so that's that, you know, but that's the system, that was the system. It wasn't my choice. I mean, I still remember 3 days after the results came out, a lad who'd been a good friend of mine meeting us out and about and saying, "Are you still going to talk to me? Now you're going to the grammar school." And when I was 11, that hit hard, and that
Yes.
really made me think. And I can remember coming home and saying to my mother, "What's something wrong?" And my grandmother helpfully saying, "Well, it just means you're cleverer." And I said, "No." I said, "That no, this isn't right." I said, "Do all countries do this?" Being me. I mean, I was always a bit odd about things. I mean, the first time I went to a wedding when I was five. I mean, I do. This is one a memory I do have. I said to my mother, "So, when does the man take the woman's name then?" And she said she knew then at that point she'd got somebody very different. Which I thought, but it's absolutely true. So I couldn't work it out. I thought, well, what? Excuse me? Hello? Why does the woman have to take the man's name? I wasn't having that. I was very, I mean, I was, my mother brought me up to be very open and accepting, although it was in some ways a traditional Church of England upbringing. I mean, another thing that happened when I was six, when my uncle was over from Canada, who was so straight-laced, he wouldn't, you know, bless him, his backbone wouldn't bend at any time. And for some reason, I don't know why, the word homosexual was mentioned. And I said to my mother, as my one, because all words were like, you know, to me at that age, and I said, "What does homosexual mean, mummy?" And my mother said, "It's a bit difficult, I'll tell you later." So fine. And so appalled when I was not in the room. My uncle said, "What are you going to tell her?" To which my mother calmly said the truth. "You can't say..." "Of course I can." Or maybe she went, "Of course she will. And I will tell her the truth." And that's what she did. Because that's what she was... And it was an unbiased, unprejudiced... Because, I mean, my mother wasn't prejudiced anyway. But, you know, truth. And I was brought up, you know, to accept that some people were gay, some people were straight. And I mean, I think that was years... She was years ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Years ahead with things like that. Mm. And yet, if anybody had suggested I might go to a club for disabled people, that I might have been able to access the one thing that I think I did miss out on, because it's very close to my disability sport, whoa, no.
Yes. Yeah, I wonder...
That was a fear. That's the big, her big fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I started getting a bit involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fine when I was involved politically when I was at Union stuff, because it was nothing to do with disability. So I've always said I've marched for things twice in my life and they weren't disability. Mm. I'm showing my age now. The ending of the GLC in London. Sorry, Ken, but we did try. And also for gay rights. And those are the two things nothing to do with disability. Mm-hmm. Which makes me laugh when I think about it.
So basically, you're all of your life up to this point of time, you didn't have any contact with other disabled people at all.
No, not at all.
So your whole life was with able-bodied.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of drama, it won't surprise you. I did a lot of drama, music, that sort of thing. Went to the theatre a lot. Once I'd found that, I was, you know, and dance was the thing. And performance was what I like, watching and being part of, but that was one. I mean, we didn't have drama schools for children. I mean, it was very quite basic stuff, but I used to do the festival and Eastbourne Arts and Festival and sing, and I sadly still remember some of the things. It's a bit sad, really, but there you go. And those were the main things that I did. And I certainly had a very full life, social life, and with my friends, and, you know, it was not... Oh, I did some schoolwork, I suppose, somewhere on the... No, I did. No, that's not... I mean, a book. I'm nosing a book. That was my...
So do you think your main aspirational subjects when you were at school were all to do with arts and drama? Yeah.
I mean, because of my interest in animals, I had a bit of an interest in science, because my mother put the books of Gerald Durrell into my hands, who was the one who started my passion, that he lit the fire that never went out. I got to the Durrell Zoo in Jersey for the first time only 3 years after he died, which is a great story to me. I would love to have met, he was my hero. I mean, I've always said I've cried when two, in inverted commas, celebrities died, and he was one. Mm. The day I heard his answer, it may sound silly, but there you go. I had got an interest in science, but from academically, I was always arts. It was always, it was English, it was history and politics. Mm. That was the other thing.
That's an interesting one.
I developed an absolute fascination for American politics after the Watergate scandal. I was absolutely fascinated. I mean, I had any book that I could think that my mother could, she was ever so good at sourcing books and the most peculiar things. I mean, I was 14 and reading things like John Dean's autobiography. A very strange child. I really was a very strange youngster. And I just absolutely fascinated by anything like that. Anything to do with what people said and spin doctoring. And I mean, I now say that I wish I had gone and studied politics at uni.
But
it doesn't stop a passionate interest.
We're now sort of into the second part,
yes.
Which is looking more towards early adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And first question really is, what were your feelings about your impairment around that time? So when you were
I don't think I had any feelings about it. It certainly... You see, it's strange. I think I meant, in inverted commas, I meant to say, oh, it had tremendous effects during puberty and to do with boys and to do with... It didn't. I had some issues. I did have some issues when I was sort of 15-ish or so about the fact that I couldn't go and be and do things that some of my friends were doing.
Like what? Can you remember anything?
Yeah, I can. I can remember not being able to... You have to remember this is partly because my school was in Bexhill. And if people were going off to meet after school, that wasn't going to work from a transport point of view. Excuse me. And things like that. That was a bit of an issue. But it... And then when I got a bit older, 16, 17, it was a case of finding an alternative. And so my mother talked to her students, because she was then she was teaching 17-year-olds. They used to stream the English O-level students that came to the college having not passed at primary school, that would be clever, at secondary school, into 5 sets, and she had the bottom lot, because she was good with... And she talked to them about me, and said, what can I do? And they said, well, are you against her going to a bar? You know, is there a problem? No, says my mother calmly, being totally unmoved by anything like that. Now, this is long before we have clubbing or anything else, you know. And so I was introduced to something that was called, of all things, the Hunting Lodge Bar along the seafront, to which my mother would quite happily take me, leave me and come back. And I would initially meet a couple of her students. So... What happened was I went in once, she had a group and she said to me, oh, Liz, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't get them excited about anything or interested. She said, would you mind coming in and talking to them about your life? She said, I think you might be able to do a bit of a spark. So I did. And a couple of them, one of them I really fancied. but of course it wasn't. I mean, you know, that was no good, was it? But I got, you know, and so it sounds a funny way to get a social life, doesn't it?
And no,
but it worked.
Yeah, well, I think that's the most important thing.
I think part of it was a bit of an, but I mean, you know, it was a bit of an issue. I mean, I wasn't ready for proper relationships. Part of it was because a lot of I was also in what I call, looking back, my evangelical mode. I was very much a leading light of the Christian Union at this point at school.
Really?
And I don't mean that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it meant that boys didn't figure in that way. Mm. And also, we didn't grow up that fast in grammar school, because you don't. Mm. Even, you know, I had lots of friends that were blokes, you know, boys.
Yes.
Because, you know, at the time, I'm afraid I had a passion for fast cars. We won't go there. other people had pop stars on the wall. I had Ferraris, that's true. That's strange. I did tell you I was strange. And football, which is, you know, was an abiding passion.
Don't get that one.
No, neither does my other half. In this house, I'm the sports person, and he likes chocolate. We reverse. That's true. Okay. So I mean, but I didn't actually think about my disability as being a barrier. I think without knowing it, I'd got social model without knowing I had, because I would have seen that the transport was the issue, the step was the problem, not my disability. Does that...
Yes.
That's how I put it. Without knowing it,
yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
What I was thinking, yeah. I'm saying now, not what my mother was thinking, because I think there is a difference now. We are getting a slight split.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And I started to see things slightly differently.
Yes. So, when did you actually leave home?
Ah, that is quite some time... Well... I had a bit of a muddle with my A-levels. The right to do that was. In 1978, I took, it won't surprise you to know, English History and Political Studies. And my English, one of my English lecturers, tutors, whatever, tutor would be a better word, the indomitable Miss Taylor, you didn't argue with Miss Taylor, lovely lady, went in, this tells you what, she went in to see if Liz had got her A. Liz had got an O.
Oh, dear.
Liz also had an O in her history.
Oh, dear.
And only an E in her political studies. mainly because the big problem was the silence in the exam room. I was very, I don't handle silence. I don't like it. And so all, I mean, I had got a place at Teacher Training College in London, and to pardon the expression, all hell then broke loose. Part of the problem was me saying, I'm not going back to school. I've done that. I won't go back.
Getting a bit strong-willed then at that point.
And my mother said, okay, fine. So, you know, I needed two A-levels. That's what I needed. That's a bit sad, but there you go. And what I did from September 79 to the June of, you know, the following year, 78, I mean, I went to the college where mother was teaching, and I did another two-year English A-level course in a year. Not, you know, with a friend of my mother's. And she said to my mother, how on earth did she manage to fail? And I did very little work, did 2 years' work in 1 year and got a C. Because at that time, during that time, I got a car and learnt to drive. And so freedom awaited, and that was a little bit more interesting, I'm afraid.
So you saw the light at the end of the tunnel. There was, yes, a purpose of getting, yes, the A-levels.
Exactly. I mean, I hadn't done very well in my A-levels. The same. I mean, there were other issues going on there at the same time to do with my grandmother. That didn't help. But I freely admit that I wasn't. I mean, I didn't study as well as I should for my A-levels, which to some extent. But I liked reading what I wanted to read. That was part of the trouble.
And you were still living.
Still living
with your grandparents and your
mum? No. By that time, my grandmother was in a nursing home because she was no longer able to cope. So it was my mother and myself. But then I went in the September of 79, so a year late. But actually, I think that was a good thing because by then I was driving, I'd got confidence. Mm. So, you know, and I always say to youngsters when I hate the pressure we put on our young people. I've got very strong feelings about it. And they all fall about and the A-levels go wrong. I mean, my partner's nephews, there are some issues with something and I'd go, whoa, you know, he's 70, just back off. Mm. It's not the end of the world. I proved it. Mm. And then I did my A-level. I had a great time up at the college. I got involved with became a PR for a local rock band for a year. Great fun. Did something totally different. Oh, no. We never know what I'm going to do next. And then I went up to college, and I'm glad to uni, Teacher Training College. And I'm glad, I mean, that, you know, I made some great friends that year. People I probably wouldn't have met.
Yeah.
So that was when I first encountered prejudice going up there. Oh. Having fought my way in, I mean, I regret to say, and this is something I'm not sure I want to say on record, but I will, I'm awfully sorry to admit that what I did was train to teach what was called, I'm sorry about this, mentally handicapped children. I'm terribly sorry, but it's what the course was called. I mean, it breaks my heart to say it but it was a terminology.
Yeah, it was.
But to cheer us all up, can we say the course leader, who was wonderful, was called Bob Batty, so it's not all bad. I knew when I saw the prospectus. I know.
Oh,
I know. It's wonderful. And the head of music at Avery Hill College, who I was to get to know very well, was a Dr. Fiddler.
Oh, perfect.
Honestly, I'm not making this up. And there was a Mrs. Y. There was a Mrs. Y. Singh, but sadly, she wasn't in the music department. And there was also a Mrs. Hands in the movement studies.
It's not quite as good as the Dr. Death I came across, who was a surgeon.
Yes, pretty good. We used to have D-T-H. Yes. Yeah, we had one in Eastbourne who was a dentist. It's pretty good. It's great. So I know, I love it. You just think, yes! I know, I'm sad. I love funny names for dogs.
My daughter's headmaster is Mr. Hater.
Oh, that's good. Well, of course, my name's pretty good for a teacher.
Your name's quite cool, actually.
It's just good. I would never get rid of it. But if you run my first two names and you get Miss Slash, I used to say the boys used to call me that once, but not twice.
You could get fed up with that, couldn't
you?
Yeah,
and I used to say, yes, ha ha, not again. All right, okay, miss.
And so you left home to go to study, to train to be a teacher in London.
I did, yeah, in Southeast London.
How did your mum feel about you leaving home?
She said she was going to run a flag up a flagpole because that was what we'd always wanted.
But she'd sort of broken that little bubble of...
She was thrilled to bits. No, I don't think that.
Okay.
No, because of no. I mean, I had a lot of, there was not prejudice among the people on the course, But there was some interest. I mean, there was some practical stuff. They didn't quite get what they needed to get right. But as I said, when I look back on it, I mean, we're talking late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was even pre the International Year of Disabled People in 86. So, I mean, and people didn't do things like that in those days. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays it's a very different world, I'm pleased to say. I mean, I've left out one bit that I ought to have mentioned, that before I went to college, I did seriously, what I really wanted to do, I mentioned dance, I wanted to be a choreographer. And my mother and I did actually visit the Institute of Choreology. Mm. I considered learning the Banff notation for choreography. And I also got to know some young people touring in a production of Godspell at the time, it's a very long time ago. I watched them work, and there was for some time actually a bit of dance in a production of Godspell that I'd done going around. And I eventually realised that it wasn't practical.
Right.
I'm delighted to say now, of course, it would be with things like Kanduko and all the rest of it, but
why,
so I
why,
had to.
Why would it not have been practical then?
They weren't advanced. Although I had all. There just wasn't, it wasn't going to happen. And I thought, well, okay, I'd been going up from school on a Friday to the local school and I'd really enjoyed that. And the head teacher there, a guy called Leslie Hurren, had said to me, you know, you really ought to go into this, Liz. You are very, very good. Mm. This is where you ought to. And so that was, but it was, say it's second choice is on it's you know I did drama as a subsidiary. I still, you know, the drama was still there when I was at uni, and I still did, you know, the music and whatever. I didn't stop, but I had to take a more, I'd always said I was never going to teach. Oh god, both my parents are teachers, I'm never going to do that. But I always said I wouldn't teach all my career. That was always my cry. Okay, I'll do it to start with, and that of course is what I did. So, you know, but it's, but yeah, there were some issues when I was at uni. There were some, I mean, there was one lecturer who informed me that the people, he wasn't on my course, but he told me that the people who I'd been at school with would have been psychologically damaged because they would have been in the same, taught in the same as me.
No way.
Yep.
How? Why?
Well, the context was that we were in that room for, our group was in that room for something, and he came out of the, I mean, very careful I put this, and I don't suppose anybody would have found out who it was, but you have to be so careful. And one of the other members of the group was talking about something else, and he looked at me and he said, oh, are you visiting? So I said, I'm in this group. What do you mean, am I visiting? Looking a bit, I was just puzzled. Oh. And he said, oh, are you training to teach? In tones of absolute blank bewilderment. So I said, yes. And he said, oh, are you going to teach in special school? I said, I don't know. Well, I mean, I didn't, you know. And he said, well, what school did you go to? So I told him. And he said, were you the only wheelchair? I mean, I don't know what term he used. I'm saying wheelchair user. I expect he said something like the only wheelchair bound or something equally. But I don't know what he said or something, whatever. And I said, yes. I said, we had a teacher who was, because I said he had multiple sclerosis. But I said, and that's when he said, I expect, and of course all the teachers, they all laughed. And so one of my you know, particular friends said, oh, well, when I don't pass my degree, then I'll blame you. And this, and he was really, he did not expect the support I got, I don't think. It's a long time ago. Mm. Very strange, that was. Very odd.
Very odd indeed. Mm. And what was your, how did you feel about leaving home and moving away, going off? In your car, in your Ferrari.
That was exciting, yeah. A Mini. I was a student, it was a Mini. SPP 107R. How sad. Excited. Okay, I mean, it was a bit scary. Of course it was.
What sort of accommodation?
I was in hall. Mm. Because in those days, a lot more people were in hall than they are now. Mm. I mean, I didn't have that. I mean, I think it's a very different situation now. And that was fine. I mean, we had, you know, we went across to have meals at the, in the you know, in the canteen and whatever, and so you didn't have to do a lot of... And the kitchen was upstairs, but my, that was a bit awkward for milk, for coffee and things, but, you know, I had good friends.
Mm. Did you have any help? Did they make any changes to any of
the
buildings?
No, nothing. They changed, they put a lower bath in.
Yes.
Yeah. Eventually. And knocked a wall down between the bathroom and the toilet. So, and that and some people complained about that. And so some other people in the same... Because the hall was arranged, so you had sort of like... I'm trying to remember. There were four or five rooms. I can't remember which now. One. Isn't that, no, there were five. One, two, three, four, five. And then there were another four upstairs because there was the kitchen and there was a bathroom on each floor. And when I first moved in, somebody said something about the bathroom not being right. And so the other people on the floor... said, right, well, we'll get rid of it. Can we have someone else in? We don't want somebody, things like that. And that was before they even knew me very well. They just said, we don't want them. And they did quite well at hand-picking the students because they picked a mature student, which was a clever idea. Mm. I didn't actually get on with her that well, but, I mean, it was a good... I mean, I thought their theory was good. Mm. And two others who became very, very good friends. And so they did also were quite clever. They didn't pick people on my course. There was only one. There was one person on my course, who subsequently again became a very good friend. But they, it would have been very easy to surrounded me by and then I wouldn't. And that, so whoever picked, that was clever. Mm. But the, I mean, in fact, I ended up again with friends from other courses, not just on the teaching course.
Well, that's always
one of the best PE students I tended to lean towards. I don't know why. I can't think why. I was always a rebel.
And any health concerns or medical interventions at this time, or were those things mostly?
No, I mean
out in early childhood?
I didn't. I mean, I was fairly. I was okay. I mean, I had the sinus problems, which were showing up by then. I mean, I've worn glasses since I was 10. But generally speaking, I was pretty healthy. And there weren't any other, and there were no other sort of operations. I mean, I was fairly strong. I mean, I swam a lot when I was a youngster. Mm. A lot. And I think that did help. And I went on swimming when I was at college. I was, you know, the joke was at the weekend, if Liz hasn't gone home for the weekend, but her car's missing and it's Saturday, she's probably in the swimming pool. Mm. I was ploughing up and down.
Mm. Did you often go home on weekends?
I used to go home third or fourth weekend, you know, it wasn't massively, it
so
depended.
You really did sever the ties in a way?
Yes.
At home when you moved away.
I did. I was involved with, you know, things up there. I was lucky in that I had some friends of my mother's were up there that I could go to as well, and that was nice. I developed, in fact, it was very nice, a very strong bond with what, it sounds an odd one, this one, my father's brother's closest friend, and before he'd gone to Canada.
Yes.
And he happened to, their family happened to live just down the road, really, from college and from uni, really. And I did develop strong bonds there. Mm. And that was nice. Mm. And if ever I wanted a bit of home comfort, I could always... And they were accessible.
Mm. Did your mum come to visit you?
No, by then she wasn't... She came once, and everyone made a great fuss of her, which was nice. But she didn't like driving long distances. And by then she would not... She came up on the train. She didn't like... I should explain. I was used to say my mother was like fine wine. She didn't travel well. She didn't like going far from home.
No.
She really didn't. So, you know.
So, and teacher training, you did that at university.
Yep.
Did you go on to do any follow-up?
No.
So you went straight from university into teaching?
Yep. Yep.
And what was your first job? And did you have any prejudice?
Right, now this is where it gets very difficult. Mm. I mean, I actually finished in the November of let me think, I always get my years muddled. Let me just concentrate. I should have come out, no, I went 9 to 80, it was November 1982 because I had to go back and redo my final teaching practice because the school they had put me in, they weren't able to cope from an access from point of view. It wasn't the school's fault, it was the college's fault. And I withdrew myself and caused a right deal of fuss because they said, you can't do that. I said, well, I've done it.